Blog Talk Radio.
The Senate will come to order.
Are you ready?
Yeah!
I want to know, is everybody ready?
Yeah!
All right, here we go. Everybody, get on up and do your stuff. Did you hear what I say? I said everybody, get on up and do your stuff. You better get up. Don't be so rough, but you got to be tough when you do your stuff.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Congress College. My name is Elizabeth Christ, and I'm going to thank you in advance for your 30 minutes on a Friday. It's been a crazy week on Capitol Hill. We're going to have fun going through all of that. But again, thank you so much for tuning into Congress College, where, if you guessed it, we talk about Congress. We do it twice weekly here on Congress College on the Monday show, which is the same time slot you're listening to right now, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is when we outline the week in Congress. And what does that mean? That means we are literally going to talk about what is going to go on in the House of Representatives, what's going to be debated on the floor of the United States Senate. And, you know, we break down what we call the code talk that comes out of Congress so that you can understand what your guys and gals in Washington, D.C. are up to. Because, you know, I say this all the time, we do have the best representative government in the world. But we've got to know what they're up to. We've got to know what our representatives are up to. And that means, what's your senator up to? What's your House member up to? Are they representing you well? And I do the show so you can answer that question. Were you represented well in Washington, D.C. for the week? And of course, the Friday show, which is the one I'm listening to right now, this is when we recap and we talk about what actually got done. And of course, when we started out at the beginning of the week on Congress College, we talked about, well, by the end of the week, we'll know who is going to be probably nominated the next speaker. Nah, that didn't happen, did it? I know you guys probably watched or paid attention, heard on the news some of the stuff that was going on. We're going to get into that in just a minute. Let me say one other housekeeping item and then say hey to everybody in the chat room. Hey, Andrea. Hey, John. Hey, Bob. I'm thinking that, did we get disconnected? Oh, I hope not. Well, anyway, here we go. Let me say one other thing, and that is I do the show so you can also learn about GradeGov.com. And, of course, GradeGov.com is the website that lets you grade a member of Congress. How about your member of Congress? You know, we talk about having the greatest representative government. How about your representative government? How about your senator? How about your House member? Do you want them an A? Maybe you want to give them a C or a D. Well, here we go. You can do it. You can do it on GradeGov.com, and you can do it for free. All right. Well, let me end with that, and let me start getting going. I'm going to talk first about the Senate of the United States. I'm hearing from the chat room, guys, that it is choppy. I am so sorry. I don't know what to do other than to say I'm sorry. I've got a new microphone. I didn't get a chance to hook it up for this show, but I don't know what to say. I am so sorry. Let me start with the Senate of the United States. Here you go. The Senate of the United States, well, they ended up passing a defense authorization bill. And that means that they have passed a defense authorization bill, a bill that will authorize all the programs within the Department of Defense for the next year, and they have been doing a DOD authorization bill for 53 years. I said this on Monday. You know, if Elizabeth Christ had her way, she would have the Senate and the House doing authorizations for all of the major agencies. Like, there'd be a State Department authorization. There'd be a Homeland Security authorization. There'd be an Interior Department authorization. Well, there isn't. And we know why. Basically, we know why. Because it takes too much time. Senators don't want to authorize anymore. They don't want to get into the nitty-gritty. They'd rather leave it up to the agency to decide. That's where we get sloppy, folks. That's where we get sloppy. I'm going to let you listen to Congressman Miller here for a minute. He talks about sloppy, and you can listen to him here. Hold on one second. This is a little more than a minute. And this is about why they need to do authorization bills to learn this stuff. Here you go.
The committee recently found that the Palo Alto VA healthcare system has spent at least $6.3 million on art and consulting services. These projects include an art installation on the side of a parking garage that displays quotes by Abraham Lincoln and Eleanor Roosevelt in Morse code that cost $285,000. It actually lights up. A large rock sculpture and the courtyard in the middle of the mental health center that cost $1.3 million for a rock. A stainless steel and aluminum sculpture in the aquatic center entrance that cost $365,000. Another sculpture that I'm at a loss.
Let me follow what the Congressman Miller is talking about. This is Congressman Jeff Miller. This is veterans spending. This is VA facilities. He's talking about all the art that is being spent to spruce up, to fancy up, however you want to say it, VA facilities. And, oh, my gosh, we know the problems with the VA facilities. So that makes an argument right there. Do the authorization bill. And you know what you do when you're debating the Veterans Affairs authorization bill? You say that we are not going to authorize art programs right now. We don't think now's a good time for the Veterans Affairs, for the veterans, for the VA departments sprinkled all across our country to be spending money on art programs. That's what authorization bills would do. Anyway, the Senate did the defense authorization bill. They passed it with 70 votes. What's magic about that? Well, it takes 67 votes to override a presidential veto, and the president has said he's going to veto this bill. Why? What is in the Department of Defense authorization bill that is so horrible? Well, let's start with 1.3% pay raise for all military personnel. That sounds pretty cool to me. How about language that says you can't transfer, move, remove, do anything with Gitmo detainees? Oh, that might be one that'll get the president's goat a little bit. How about money for troops in Afghanistan? Oops, not going to like that. How about troops for activity in Syria, anywhere in the Middle East? No, 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 no. The president doesn't want to spend any money, anything, any programs, anywhere in the Middle East. It's obvious. He announced today, I believe it was, that a Army training program that the president had authorized a couple of years ago, he's pulling the plug on it, on our presence in Syria. I got to tell you what, Putin must love this. You know, Obama is, they say he's got a cautious approach. Cautious approach? How can we be a third-party player in civil wars, in these civil wars, and have any success? We've kind of done that before, and it didn't work. We're not leading, folks. You know we're not. We're not even following. We're getting out of our own way by just floundering, pulling the plug on everything in the Middle East and just watching it burn. And don't you love that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were the two that did all this hard work to organize, to get it all cleaned up, to get the Middle East in good shape? Oh, my gosh, it is literally on fire. Well, let's see what the president's going to do. Because the Senate passed a House bill. They passed it by 70 votes. Presumably, the president's going to veto it. That's what he says. Remember, though, for Congress College listeners, I know you know this, it started out as a House bill. So that means when and if the president vetoes it, it would come back to the House of Representatives first. Remember, it's a House bill. So that means that the Speaker of the House has the priority to send the bill down whenever he wants to. He can send it tomorrow, yesterday, or he can wait a week. Maybe he waits closer to the Veterans Day holiday. And, of course, the president has 10 days. So it comes back to the House that originated it first, the body that originated it first, and in this case it's the House of Representatives. What was the vote when the House passed it? They only passed it with 269, and it takes 290. So will they be able to override the president's veto? It takes two houses to override. You'd have to have the House override the veto, and then the Senate. The Senate obviously looks like it has the votes to override. 70 votes, takes 67. They'd even have a couple that they could give back to the president. Question on the veto message will be, shall the bill pass? The objections of the president to the contrary, notwithstanding. So you would want an aye vote if you wanted the bill to pass over and above the president saying no. Well, we're going to watch that. We'll watch that in the next couple of weeks. But the Senate has passed a defense authorization bill by a vote of 70 aye votes. All right, we're going to flip over to the House of Representatives, the crazy House of Representatives this week. Before I talk about some of the craziness, let me talk about something they did do today. They passed H.R. 702. That's Congressman Barton of Texas's bill. It removed the export ban. There's been a ban on us exporting oil since 1975. That's 40 years, folks. Jimmy Carter put it in place. Well, the House of Representatives passed the bill by a pretty decent margin, so that will be heading over to the House, to the Senate. We'll have to see what happens now. We'll have to see if the House of Representatives sends the bill over to the Senate and if the Senate is able to then maybe do something with it. Would they be able to pass it? I don't know. We'll have to see. Alrighty, let's talk about the Republican conference that went on today. Let's talk about the Republican conference, the meeting that went on yesterday. They had another one this morning, folks. The Speaker of the House says he still wants to retire. He still wants to retire at the end of October. But he's basically saying he'll stay until the new Speaker is elected. And he said basically in the meeting, that's up to you guys. That's up to all of you in the room. He says he'll stay until December if he has to. But he really doesn't want to. How would he stay until December? Well, the House Freedom Caucus and most of the other conservatives, it's about 80 Republicans, they don't support him staying on the job. They don't support him, at least right now, they do not support him staying past October 30th. So they'd have to sort of agree. Because remember, the Speaker, in order to get a positive vote out of the Republican conference in the House of Representatives, has to have 128 votes out of the 246. So you could lose all of those 80, but it would be close. You'd have to hang on to just about everybody else. Let's think about this. You got 246 House Republicans. You need half of those, about 225, let's say. If you lose 80 of them, you only got 40 votes to play with. You've only got 40 votes to play with. That's just to keep him as our Speaker, as the Speaker of the House, through December. And, of course, we all know what's happening in December. You've got the fiscal cliff 2.0. I know Congress College listeners have heard about it because we're talking about it all the time. This would be extending the debt limit. Remember the debt ceiling? They're going to run out of money. The federal government's going to run out of money. They're not going to be able to pay the debtors. This is not the same as the appropriations process. This is two separate items. One is put money in the account so that the federal government can write checks to its debtors. Another one is fund the entire federal government. That's all of the agencies being able to turn on their lights and fire up their computers and start. You've got tax extenders that are expiring. I talk about the one I like to talk about the most because I love teachers. I have so many teachers in my family, is the tax break that teachers are allowed to give. They can deduct some of their money that they spend when they spend it on classroom supplies. And we know teachers do that all the time. That's one of the 40 or more tax extenders that they will want to extend. You also got a highway bill. The highway bill actually expires at the end of October, and a lot of people think they'll go ahead and put that all in the middle of this fiscal cliff 2.0. Do you all remember the fiscal cliff from back in 2011, the debt limit crisis? Do you remember what happened? Standard & Poor's downgraded our credit rating. We had a triple A rating, and they took us down to a double A with a negative outlook. That was pretty bad. And this is what Standard & Poor's said. This was August of 2011. The political brinksmanship of the recent months highlights what we see as Americans' governance and policy making becoming less stable, less effective, and less predictable than what we previously believed. That's Standard & Poor's. That was their reasoning for bumping us down. Could that happen again? It really could. So they need to figure out the Speaker of the House. Should Boehner stay and muck and mire through those big things that will happen in December? You know, right now I would say yes. And here's why. He already represents all that people think is bad with the House of Representatives. He already represents that. And to say that means that the new speaker would have that sort of monkey hanging over him right away. He gets elected at the end of October, and by December, people hate him because he's got to figure out how to extend the debt. He's got to pass an omnibus appropriations bill, which will have more money in it than most people will want to spend. Some of the tax extenders, some of these tax breaks that are included, people won't like. Are they good for the country? Yeah, we can debate that, but here, that's what this new president, this new speaker is up to. That's what will happen when the new speaker grabs the gavel. So why not maybe just leave it with Boehner until the end of the year? I could debate it either way. But Paul Ryan, who's the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, he is chomping at the bit to write new tax law. He's finally in a place as chairman of the Ways and Means Committee on the House of Representatives side. He's finally in a place where he can do that. And they are driving him nuts. The speaker is driving him nuts to try to see if he would run for the leadership, for speaker. And he doesn't want to do it. He has young children. The schedule that the speaker has to keep from fundraising. Remember, all of the House of Representatives are up for re-election. So in theory, he's potentially doing fundraisers in all 435 races. Because even if there's Democrats running, you want a Republican to potentially win. So maybe you do a fundraiser for somebody running against Nancy Pelosi. You see what I'm saying? Tons of fundraising, crisscrossing the country all the time. Paul Ryan wants to write good, decent tax law. That's what he wants to do. I want you to take a listen here for just a minute. This is the views of six different members of Congress.
We were at conversations with conservatives today, and the topic, all the hot topic, was who's going to be the next Speaker of the House. Now, as you know,
they want to talk about what they believe is important for the next speaker to have. I'm going to click it in right about now. This should be right about when they start talking.
The question is, can they get to 218 tomorrow when all the Republicans have come together?
Many of us who are conservatives in the conference are clamoring for, like many Americans are clamoring for, leadership who will take the fight to Barack Obama. Sometimes we're going to lose those fights, but sometimes we're going to win those fights.
I'm going to look for somebody who's got a vision, somebody who has a plan. You know, so we're right now stuck with a debt ceiling vote in 4 weeks. Do we have somebody who's actually going to talk about how we're going to get out of this, what we're going to do in the next 4 weeks? Is there a plan to actually work with the President and the Senate to bring about real changes that we all want to government?
Talking about all kinds of things. Rule changes, conference changes, process changes, and policy.
You know, our objections to Speaker Boehner aren't really ideological.
our objections are that he didn't give us time to read the bills, right? Or that he broke the rules all the time. Or that he took away our fundraising opportunities if we didn't vote with him.
I think it's a great time, great opportunity. As we're heading into 2016, there's no way we would have won with John Boehner, Speaker of the House. Now, can we win if it's a Kevin McCarthy, a Boehner 2.0? I don't know about that.
We haven't made any commitments to any of the candidates at this point, but we will vote together as a block, and we believe that there have to be substantial changes to the way the system works.
Continue to follow the Daily Signal as we bring you all the latest in the race for the Speaker.
Okay, well, that was six House conservatives saying what they wanted in a new speaker. Let's talk about what you need in a leadership. Let's talk about how we got to some of the places we are at right now, some of the positive stuff. Remember, there are budget caps that were put in place. They cut the budget $2.4 trillion over 10 years. The caps drove down spending to 20.8% in 2015. How about getting rid of earmarks? There's no more earmarks. How about putting in place 85% of the Bush tax cuts, making them permanent? How about stopping the $500 billion tax hike that was going to hit all of employees, all workers, January of 2013? Who did all of that? Do I need to repeat them? That was Mitch McConnell. In the minority. He did that while he was in the minority. So people are saying, well, Mitch McConnell's horrible. He's terrible. He hasn't done anything. He did all of that. He negotiated all of that while he was in the minority. People want him to bust the filibuster rule. They want him to use Harry Reid's nuclear option, which meant when Harry Reid used it, he broke the Senate rules to allow basically now the minority party cannot filibuster a nomination other than a Supreme Court nomination. So the president, in theory, could nominate Mickey Mouse. He doesn't have to call a single in this case, this was the Republicans were in the minority. He didn't have to call a single Republican who was in the minority to say, what do you think of Mickey Mouse? Because they didn't need a single one of their votes to confirm Mickey Mouse. You can completely ignore the minority when the filibuster rule is taken away. And that's what happened with the nomination process. There are people that want Senator McConnell to go ahead and institute the new filibuster rule, the nuclear option on bills. That's a dangerous thing to do. And I applaud Senator McConnell for not doing it. Because here's the deal. How many Senate Republicans are up for re-election next November? Not this coming November, next November. I know some of you in the chat room know this. 24. How many Senate Democrats are up for re-election? 10. So there's a possibility, pretty strong possibility, that the Senate Republicans are probably going to lose a seat or two. Let's just do the math. There are 24 Senate Republicans up for re-election. They have to keep all 24 of those seats exactly as they are. No one can lose to keep the ratio of 54 Republicans. To gain any, they have to then chip away at some of those 10 that are up for re-election. And they're in pretty blue states. I'm here to tell you, folks. Vermont is one of them. New York is another one. How about California? Barbara Boxer. Telling you, the seats that are up for re-election by the Democrats are pretty blue. It's Colorado, Connecticut, California, Vermont, Maryland, Washington State, Nevada, Hawaii, New York, and Oregon. And the 24 up for election for Senate Republicans, some of them are kind of iffy. There's 24. So why would you want Mitch McConnell to get rid of the filibuster rule? In other words, not protect the minority at all so that it only takes a simple majority to pass every single bill when you might end up in, being in the minority in about a year and a half. So I'm here to say I applaud Senator McConnell. And folks, be careful what you wish for in a speaker. Be careful what you wish for. We're going to talk about this more because right now the House and the Senate, they are out for one solid week. They are on vacation. They're on their Columbus Day holiday. And they'll be scrambling the whole recess to try to figure this out. But in the meantime, guess what the House Budget Committee did today? I love it. I love it. I love it. I talk about this. We've been talking about it. The House Budget Committee packaged together the reconciliation bill. What does it do? It defunds Planned Parenthood and spreads the money to the other women's community health clinics. Those actually do mammograms. And you know what else it does? It repeals five parts of Obamacare. Five parts of Obamacare. It is the individual mandate gone. The employer mandate gone. The death panels, the independent payment advisory board, is what it's called, gone. The medical device tax, gone. The Cadillac tax, gone. So the reconciliation bill, that process is making its way. It's inching along. The process is doing what it's supposed to do, and I know we're going to be talking a lot about that in the coming weeks. That's something else that this new president is going to have to, I mean, this new speaker will have to deal with. One other thing I want to get to real fast, because basically there is nothing on the president's schedule. That's the Export-Import Bank. This is a Republican initiative, partly. Senator Kirk, who's up for re-election from Illinois, in a tough re-election, he authored an amendment on the Senate side to try to reauthorize it. He got 64 votes. House Republicans and House Democrats joined together today. They got enough signatures, called a discharge petition. It takes 218 to put it on the House floor, and they say it's going on the House floor October 26th. This is the first time in 85 years. They've only tried the discharge petition five different times in 85 years. We'll have to see if this is successful. Remember what the Ex-Im Bank does? It provides loans to support overseas customers of U.S. companies. It's 81 years old, and it expired June 30th. Senator McConnell, he's opposed to it, and he said he doesn't plan to have a vote on the piece of legislation if it does, in fact, make it out of the House of Representatives. And if it has 218 signatures to discharge it, the assumption is it might actually make it out of the House of Representatives back over to the Senate. So we'll have to look at that at the end of October. Also, what are we going to watch at the end of October? Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton in front of the Benghazi committee. I want you to listen to Trey Gowdy for just a minute, and then I'm going to close this out.
I have no interest in private documents. I really could care less. I am interested in making sure the whole public universe is complete. So what assurance can you give the public that that State Department has everything that would be considered a public record from her tenure as Secretary of State?
She has assured us that she gave us everything she had, and like we do with other federal employees, we have to depend on them to provide that information to us. So we have the documents, and you know, we've accepted her assurance that she's given us everything that she had that should be a part of our official records.
Well, you mentioned other federal employees, which got me wondering, and I wrote down a list of some of the other cabinet-level folks that I have worked with in my time here. Attorney General Holder, did he have his own server?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking whoever can answer it.
Well, I can let you know that Attorney General Holder used an official DOJ account.
He did. How about new Attorney General Lynch? Does she have a personal server?
Same as well. She's using an official DOJ account.
He went on and on
to talk about all the others that use official government accounts. So I'm looking forward. I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to hearing Trey Gowdy take on Hillary Clinton. I'm going to leave you with Bob Seger's
turn the page.
We're going to do one now featuring Alto on the saxophone.
Have a great
It's an old one. It's called Turn the Page.
The following week. Thanks again, and stay tuned.
On a long and lonesome highway east of Omaha, you can listen to the engine moaning out his one note song. You can think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before. But your thoughts will